All right. Thank you, Sharon and Hector. My, well, we are blessed around this church with a lot of talent, aren't we? I didn't know that Tim could run that piano that fast. Good job. Good job, Tim. I thought it was going to throw a rod before it got on the last lap there. Really good job. We appreciate it. But God is blessed in our church body to have a lot of young folks step up, and some of those that are not so young still doing a good job. I had a couple join the church this morning, the Gauls over here, and he was in the choir tonight. I like that kind of attitude, amen? Just get right on in quickly. All right, I want you to open your Bibles. I want you to think on this tonight. We're getting close to our mission conference. You see the gauge over here? We got a long way to go. We've been in that spot before. I don't like it. I wish we could finish early instead of late. But I want you to be praying about it and thinking about it. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1 tonight. As we look at the command again, you can find it, of course, at the end of the Gospels. But right here in Acts chapter 1, about beginning maybe about verse 8, says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's very close to the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, uttermost part of the earth. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." In other words, these angels that showed up in the shining apparel here told them it's time to get busy. Just don't stand gazing up into heaven. You got a whole world to reach with the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's what missions is really all about, his command to his church. And that was his church assembled here at Pentecost. And he told them to go to all the world. That's quite a large view. That's the plan of missions, though. That's God's plan. And I want to just kind of off the cuff a little bit tonight, share a few things with you. If you were to back up on our church, our story of missions here at Landmark is quite a good story in itself. When we came here, the church was supporting just a few folks here, was supporting one missionary when the money came in. I mean, sending him a little bit every month. In fact, I remember exactly what it was. It was $11 a month. That was not a lot of money. That was not a great big mission effort, but it was the best they could do. And I remember when we came down to the first Christmas that I was here as pastor, end of the year, first Christmas, I remember we set up a gauge very similar to what you see here, except it didn't reach 500,000. We had a goal of 1,000. And that 1,000 looked as big as the 500,000 does now in a lot of ways. And somewhere around here, there's a picture of a young preacher, and my wife had to make the picture, and I've got a yardstick, and I'm pointing to that gauge, and we're trying to raise $1,000 for mission. And by the grace of God, we did it. And it was a great victory for us. That was the early beginning here after I became the pastor in the first Sunday of January 1971. I believe in missions. I believe it's close to God's heart. Somebody said that God only had one son, and he gave him as a missionary. And you think about it. He came to this old sin-cursed world to reach us. And that's about what it amounts to, of course, and to die for our sins. Somebody said, paint a picture of a dead church. And they got an artist to draw a picture of a dead church. And to their surprise, when they saw the picture, it was a beautiful, well-painted building on the outside. The grass was cut. The flowers were in place, And it just looked like a nice church building. They said, we told you to paint a picture of a dead church. That does not look like a dead church. He says, step into the foyer. And so as they looked into the foyer, there sat a mission box, the word missions on it. But over the opening was a spider web. And the artist was given a point. You might be rich looking, but in God's eyes, you're poor if you don't send the gospel around the world. And wonderful truth there, wonderful truth of God's plan for us. And you know, I go back, and myself personally, my wife and I, we go back to where we were serving God. It's Swartz Central Baptist now in Winter Haven in the early years where I got saved. And I remember when the preacher and some missionaries presented for the first time the plan of faith missions. And basically it was saying to a couple like us, you wouldn't believe how little money we were making for our salaries go, but we were faithful to God and His house. We were faithful to give the tithe. And missionary and the preacher presented the idea, trust God to give more to missions than you can see how. But ask Him to bring it in, and if He'll bring it in, you'll give it. And so we kind of understood that principle, and we got started. And from that day to this, we've always given extra and over and above to missions. And I want to give a word of testimony to the Lord. He has blessed, and we've been able to do that. And it was important to do that. I remember my wife was working at the bank in Winter Haven at that time. And like I say, the salary was small. I was working for a small salary for a company, and it got around to Christmas time, and like it's coming here soon, and missions was the talk, and our goal, we was trying to meet our goal in the church. And she received on her, my company didn't give a bonus, or it wasn't hardly anything at all, maybe $10 or something. I do remember one of my customers left me a fifth of whiskey in the mailbox. That's no lie. I went by, it was a customer that I serviced, and they had a card there, and I knew what it was. The time I saw it, it was wrapped in Christmas paper, you know, and it was pretty. And said, what'd you do, throw it away? No, I gave it to my preacher. And he gave it to somebody else. That bottle of whiskey went around for a joke in our church, and see who was going to open it first. The truth. Somebody finally opened it and swore up and down they poured it in the radiator of their car for antifreeze. Now, I don't know if they did, but that's what they swore they did. Amen. But anyway, I remember that she was working at the bank, and they gave her a Christmas bonus. Now, it was over $200, and that looked like a lot of money to us. I mean, it looked like a lot of money, and we could have spent it in 100 different places, I think legitimately so. But I remember, I don't know if she remembers this or not, we gave it to missions at Christmas time. And I'm not saying feel sorry for us, I'm saying thank God she got it so we could give it. That's kind of a motive and attitude that you need to have towards supporting missions. And a wonderful thing. Now, you know, through the years, I've known a lot of missionaries through the church, and since I've been a pastor now, Brother Parsons was giving me an award Friday night for pastoring 50 years. If I make it to this January, it'll actually complete 53, because I, no, it's not right, 51, I get it right, 51, because I had 3 years in the country church and 48 here coming this January, and 48, I think still 51. I don't know if new math will back that up or not. But anyway, he was giving us a little award for that Friday night, and I appreciate that very much. But through the years, especially as a pastor, I've met a lot of people dedicated to getting the gospel around the world. Missionaries, preachers that have had the burden for it. I can name some. I remember Jim Cooper, he's dead now. Down in the islands, flying a plane. One of the missionaries we still support now, I supported even before I came here as a pastor, LaVon Waters over in Spain. And I think about so many more that were so dedicated to the Lord. We can name the old missionaries that we read biographies about, like David Livingston or Jonathan Goforth or some of those, you college young men, don't ever Don't ever fail to read biographies of missionaries. It'll bless your heart. The power of God is on what he used those men to do. And it's something you need to know about. But you know, in knowing about the older ones and the ones that's been around for years, sometimes we have to look back to see how good God's been, and have to look back sometime to see God's hand on a man. I want to say to you that we know some in our church here through the years that God has had his hand on, and that he's blessed. Brother Scotty Drake was close to going to heaven. I believe our prayers and the prayers of missionaries all around the field said, Lord, we still need him. So he's still here. He is home, and he's recovering slowly. And I asked Brother Morgan up in the tape room to make a phone call tonight to Brother Scotty. And if the technology works right, you're going to hear him talking to us here in just a minute over the phone. And I asked him to call in right about this time. So, Brother Jeremiah, get Scotty on the phone if you can, and I hope it'll come over the speakers for you. All right. I want you to hear from him. I saw him again this week for a good time. Scotty has a burden for missions. And there's all kind of missionaries all over the field that he has blessed, they're blessed by him, and I want to tell you what, I'll guarantee you there's some prayers going up on the mission field for Brother Scotty. Are you there, Scotty?
Yes, sir, Brother Parker. I'm here.
All right. This is good for the congregation to hear your voice, Brother Scotty. Are you having a pretty good day, feeling pretty good?
Yeah, preacher, I'm doing better, and I tell you what, I'm just so thankful that you're my pastor and Landmark Baptist Church is my church.
Well, thank you. We're proud of
you.
We know God is using you still. He's been sitting in the chair on the telephone, still working with the missionaries and the ministry.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say something to us.
7.5 billion people in the world today, and most of them have never heard the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, when you look and you see how they worship idols and all these things, and it just breaks your heart.
Amen. I know a little bit about your beginning, Scotty, with the HEPS ministry program. How many years is that now?
About 25 years ago.
Wow.
Let me just say this, Pastor. About 25 years ago, I was sitting and counseling with Dr. Lee Robertson about starting this HEPS ministry work. And I'll never forget Dr. Robertson looked at me and he said, Scotty, he said, missions is the greatest work in all the world.
Amen.
Never forgot that.
Amen. Amen. I know that Scotty pastored a large church in Tampa for years. He sent out missionaries. He worked with them, but he got a burden to where he just had to go just pretty much full time into missions. And that was the beginning of what we call the HEPS ministry program. And I know it. Scotty got rid of his house, got rid of personal finances, put the finances into the mission work. And you read about sometimes men that made such sacrifices, the Moravian missionaries that sold themselves into slavery so they could go out in the fields and witness to the slaves in the early years. We hear about things like that, but here's a man I know about that has made a lot of personal sacrifice to do a lot of good across this world. And Scotty, we love you for it and appreciate you for it. But go ahead and make any comments you want to.
Well, preacher, listen, you know, someone, one of the old statesmen said this, said, never was a bigger mistake made than one who gave nothing because he felt like he could give so little. So everybody could give. And I'd rather be a giver any day than a taker. And let me just say this. You've been with me now the last 2.5 months. And you were there when the doctor said, I've done all I can do. People thought I wasn't going to make it. I remember you called a prayer meeting, and all at once it started getting better.
Amen.
And I just praise God for it. But here's the thing. Had I gone to heaven, I'm so thankful to God about the mission program.
Yes.
And every person there, I went home one day healthy. that night I was so sick. I drove myself to the hospital, don't even remember driving myself there. Woke up 15 days later, couldn't walk, couldn't stand up or anything. Been in a coma for 15 days. But I tell you what, when you go through something like that, you look back and you realize only what you've done for Christ is going to last. And folks, I can tell you this, you better when you sign your faith promise card, remember, I was healthy one day, and the next day I was near death. Please, 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 make the goals, and let's go higher next year. God bless you, Pastor. We love you.
Thank you, Brother Scotty. What he said, only what's done for Christ will last, is a little cliche, but brother, it'll be the most important thing when you cross over, I'll guarantee you. Scotty, we appreciate you so much. I hope we didn't tire you too much tonight. We're glad to hear from you. I wanted the church to hear your voice, and I want you to know that God woke him up with a clear mind, too. We, after all that doctoring and all that medication, and there was a little bit of quiet discussion, what was going to happen. You know, a lot of times folks in a coma 15 days never come back in their right mind. We've seen that. I've seen it with others. And God just touched Scotty. I believe he answered prayer. And I really do. And I believe he answered prayer for many of us in this room, as well as on the mission field. And I thank God that he's able now to talk and do his therapy. And just this week, had to go back to the doctor for a little procedure. And he told me this afternoon that worked. So we thank God. Thank God for that. I want to just say to you and echo what Scotty has said. Let's reach our goal. Mission conference is going to be on us. The timing of it with Thanksgiving is negative with our mind on family and our mind on Thanksgiving. But listen, this is a part of the mission of our church. This is a big thing. I had a visitor this morning ask me the question. I think the first timer, as they came out the door, they said, "Does this church support missions?" I pointed to the gauge right here. I said it hadn't reached the top, but we believe it is. We've reached it every other time. And I want to ask you now, you say, "Well, I'm praying for a miracle. God will do it." Well, pray it this way. Yes, we want God to do it, but he might want to do it through some of us. Amen. He might want to use us. And so do what we can. If you've already given your commitment for the year, add something to it if you can. God knows. Amen. You think about it here. God's the maker of missions. He sent his own son. His motive was he loved people. He wanted them to be saved and go to heaven instead of hell. And that's God's motive hadn't changed. God's plan hasn't changed. And by the way, he uses the same methods that he's used down through history. He still uses people. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. And yes, there's a time, and if I ask you to look deep in your heart, was there ever a time that you did give and you felt really good about it because you felt like God used you to help somebody to do something? I felt that way, and God still uses the same methods. And the need is as great as ever. I think I mentioned a while ago about knowing different missionaries. And I've heard stories from the mission field that would just break your heart. I believe it was Brother Cecil Neese. He's dead now, but we supported him for years and years, going into the unknown tribes that many cases had never seen an outsider come in. And he'd go in there and live with them and get them saved. Many times stop tribal wars. They're killing each other with their spears and so forth. And not only get souls saved, but make peace, stop that sort of stuff. But some of the things he shared with us, and some of you that go way back will remember some of the pictures he showed to us on a Wednesday night. And his commitment always impressed me. A little hospital was down here in town during those years. And I was in there visiting somebody, and as I walked down the hall, I saw through the door, and I saw our missionary, Cecil, niece, in the bed. I rushed in there, Cecil, I didn't even know you were in town. And here's what he told me. I didn't know this story. He never shared it here with the church. He had a parasite on the field, sleeping out in the jungle with them. That parasite would grow and multiply to the place that once in a while he'd have to come home to the States. He couldn't get any treatment there, of course, in the jungle. They'd put him on a tube and a bottle, and he'd be there 2 or 3 days, and they'd kill the parasite back down. Couldn't get rid of it, but they could kill it back down that he'd get strength enough and go back to the mission field. When it built up again to where he had to, he'd come back and do it, and he didn't whine about it. He didn't say, I won't go there anymore, I might catch it again. He never did that. He went back, and he went back, and he went back. And I remember one of the last times he was here in the church before I heard he got sick and passed away. And I said, Cecil, can't somebody, he was approaching 90. And I said, Cecil, can't somebody else go? And he said, well, nobody wants to go back there where I'm at. Wow, what a testimony. Kept on going. And we'll see him in heaven. But his dedication, and you could multiply that by so many more, getting the gospel out, because the souls are important. He told me some of the awful things the heathen practiced in the jungle. And yet he told me this too, and you've heard me preach it a lot. He didn't find any atheists in the tribes. They all believed in a god or many gods, but they were misled by the devil to the place they had some awful practices. To have any hope of eternal life, they thought they had to do this. When their ancestors died, they would strip the flesh, the body, let it rot off. Then they would take the bones of an uncle or grandpa or whoever it was, and the family had to take the bones, and they had to crush the bones into a powder, and they had to mix it with water, and they had to drink it until they drank up that mixture. And that was the only way their ancestors could have any life beyond the grave. What an awful thing. And Cecil said when they'd get saved and understand the grace of God and the price that Jesus paid and get saved, he said the great thing was they'd say, Cecil, we don't have to drink the bone milk anymore. We don't have to drink it anymore. Well, listen, the woman that throws the baby to the crocodile or some of the other heathen things you know about on the mission field, it not only gives them eternal life, it frees their life up here from all that bad stuff. When we give to missions, folks, it's something close to God's heart. He's still using the same methods. He's still sending men out to get the job done. And the message is the same. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The gospel was good news to me. I said it this morning. I said it the other night in my testimony. I thought your works, whichever stack was the highest, was the way you were going to go. And yet my heart all the time, I knew which stack was the highest, the bad stack. And the truth is, I couldn't have got to heaven if I'd had just a little stack. It had to be paid for too. But the liberty that came to find out, Jesus paid for it. I could stand sinless before God as though I had never sinned. Wow, that's justification. That's a wonderful truth, and it's a liberating truth. It is just the best truth you could possibly mention. I want to challenge you. Let's give extra to reach our goal. We'll have some missionaries here speaking to us. We're also going to have on Thursday night an emphasis on home missions. We, in the midst of our congregation, in our church family, we've got some folks like Brother Donahue and others that are sacrificing and doing all they can to reach souls. And they're reaching them. They're reaching them. I got a report from a preacher I know Tuesday, but it was Tuesday, Monday night or Tuesday morning, and he was telling me about a missionary on the field down in Mexico and how many hundreds of souls were being saved out of that ministry, how it's grown to just being reaching thousands. But it started out as one man with a burden going. It still works. And the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. I want to challenge you tonight to make a new commitment in this sense. Finish up last year's. Do extra if you can. And then take this card and without your name on it, write down, God, I'm going to trust you for this much for the coming year. And let's have a great mission conference. And again, as I had Scotty speak to us tonight, it reminds us that we do have, as a church, an outreach all around the world. We have a part in Helps Ministries and so many others getting Bibles into Africa and other places. You've heard about that in our Bible conference here just recently. And the truth is that God still wants to send the gospel. I think that's why Jesus has not come back. Souls are being saved on the mission field much, much more abundant than they are in America now. But America's still sending the missionaries and sending the gospel and sending the money. And I believe that the Lord I don't like to say he's tearing his coming. I believe that he's long-suffering and he's still seeing souls saved. And oftentimes we forget that. We forget that. Let's have our vision renewed for getting the gospel, not only as the sign up here says, around the corner. And that's my neighbor and yours, but around the world. It's still important as it ever was. And the command we read in the text, to the uttermost part of the world, is still God's plan. All right, let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you. Thank you to hear the voice of Scotty tonight and see that you've left him with us and the work to continue that you're using he and his helpers to do. We pray, Father, for our mission conference. I pray, Lord, that you'd lay a burden on our heart to give a little extra, do all we can. And I pray for the meeting. I pray for the missionaries to come. I pray in the crowd to come in spite of all the hindrances and the closeness to the holiday and all that. I pray, Father, that we might have a great time, a great mission conference. And, Father, that we might see that this is close to your heart. It's important to you. And I thank you for the men you've used. I thank you for the folks in this church that you've used through the years to give and support. And, yes, some of them themselves have gone. We thank you for that. We ask your blessing now to speak to our hearts tonight concerning this thing of sending the gospel around the world, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation. It's going to be this. Come pray for missions. Come pray for our mission goal. If you're here and you're unsaved, we'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved, but I want to tell you something. Souls is a result of good mission giving. Let's pray tonight that God will speak to hearts. We'll reach our goal, but more than that, we'll see souls saved. Lord, we know that's what God would have us do. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for leaving Scotty with us to continue the work. We pray his improvement might continue here day by day. We pray for the missionaries that he's coordinating with and working with and all of his helpers. We pray for them. Father, we asked you to spare him because we knew what a great work you were using him to do, and we thank you that you answered prayer. Now help us, Father, as we go in our mission conference. Help us to have a time of family and all with the holiday. That's wonderful, and we thank you for those blessings, but we ask, Father, we would keep our eye on the main thing. And that's getting the gospel to the lost. Bless it, I pray, Father. Speak to every heart about it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.